and all that stuff helps point people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're left here to do. To point people to Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and John chapter 15, continuing through here on these basic Bible beliefs and going over these salvation doctrines. Have y'all been enjoying these? Going through here, I enjoy teaching them, so I'm looking forward to, in just a couple weeks, I think 2 weeks it is, the first Sunday of each month, Brother Heitch is going to be teaching on why we are independent Baptists. Do y'all want to know why we are what we are? And that, so that he's going to be teaching through that. I'm looking forward to it and excited about that. So we'll be doing that. And I'll continue going through these basic Bible beliefs until the Lord takes me home. Amen. As we go through the Bible, they'll just start getting a little bit more deeper into the Scriptures. But during Sunday school, I like studying the Word of God. Galatians chapter 1 and John chapter number 15. The salvation doctrine that we're going to look at this morning, we've covered a lot of ground. We've covered the new birth and the adoption and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit and sealed by the Holy Spirit, justification, imputation. We've covered a lot of salvation doctrines, and there's a lot that took place the day that you got saved. And I hope y'all can see that now as we're going through here. And every single one of these salvation doctrines helps prove the Bible doctrine of eternal security. That there's no way that we can lose our salvation because of what God did for us. If it was left up to us, could we lose it? Yes, we would lose it. I would lose it. Everybody in here would if it was left up to us, but it's not. It's God's salvation. When David said, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. It's the Lord's salvation that He's given us, and that He gave it to us, and He's like, all right, now I'm going to protect it and hang on to it for you and keep you saved. He's the one that's doing the work, not us. Now, we work because we're saved and all those things, but it does not affect our salvation in any way. Our works and the things that we do in our Christian life affect our relationship with God. We're saved, but we do the works and we do the things and we tell others about Christ and we participate in the local church and we do all those things for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but not for salvation reasons. If you're saved, you're saved. And let me say this, going to church, giving the missions, giving offerings, tithes, helping people at Christmas time, all the things that we're supposed to do as Christians will not get you saved. That doesn't make you saved. It won't keep you saved, and it doesn't make you saved. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. If you're not saved and you do those things, that's not good enough. It's just the blood of Jesus Christ and accepting what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. And so we're going to go through here, and we're going to study the salvation doctrine of sanctification. When a person trusts Christ as his Savior, God sanctifies that person. That word means to set apart or separate. And when you got saved, God took you out from under this world system and He set you apart from the world so that you could serve Him. Are you there in Galatians chapter 1? Alright, Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Galatians chapter 1 verse number 4. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. God sanctified us. That means to set apart or to separate us. Whenever we got saved, God separated us from this evil present world. I think I put the wrong verse up there. Alright, I put the wrong part there. It's, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. I don't know about you, but man, the fact that Jesus Christ gave Himself on the cross of Calvary just for our sins. That is a wonder that He would do that for us. I said last night, I preached at the Teen Challenge. Man, we had a wonderful service last night at Teen Challenge. I think it was about 3 ladies saved. There's a bunch of them that got a lot of things right. We just had a good service. And I really want some of our ladies to get involved in that ministry, because eventually our church is going to take it over and we're going to need some folks to go. And, but man, it was a good service. But in preaching last night, I told them it doesn't matter where they are in their life. It doesn't matter how low they get. God can help them. And it was only by the grace and mercy of Almighty God that I was even standing up there before them preaching. It's just because of the mercy and grace of God. If it wasn't for Him, who knows? I'd be in worse shape than some of them ladies in there. But God gave Himself for our sins. And man, I thank God for that. And He did that to deliver us from this present evil world. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You should be able to flip right over there if y'all had it saved. John chapter number 15. All right, John chapter 15. It says, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." When He saved us, He set us apart from this evil world. This world used to be our home. The devil used to be our father. And when He saved us, He set us apart from that and separated us from this evil world. And as a Christian, as a child of God, sometimes you feel like the world hates you and they're against you. It's not you. It's the God that you serve. So them athletes, and I know some of them don't believe exactly like we do, and they might be off on their doctrine, but several years ago, or even still now, Tim Tebow, whenever he was doing his thing and had the verses written on his face, and he was praying after he scored a touchdown and all those things, man, everybody ridiculed him. They were mad at him. The media just blasted him all the time. They said they didn't want to rub that religiousness in our face and all these things. It wasn't him. It was what he represented. Every time he spoke, and you can think what you want to about him. That's fine. But, I know doctrinally he probably doesn't line up with us. But every time he talks, he recognizes the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he mentions Jesus Christ. There's some of them that when they think, they give their speech and they're thinking, they'll thank a God, but they won't say the Lord Jesus Christ or my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a Christian in this world, whenever you stand up for God and you stand up for what's right, and this world will ridicule you and mock you for that, it's not you, it's Jesus Christ that they hate. Y'all see that here in this verse? That it's not you. God has chosen us out of this world. Therefore the world hateth you. We are just pilgrims in a strange land if you're saved. This world is not our home. We're just passing through waiting to go to our home. I cannot wait. I'm tired of seeing the death and the pain and the sorrow and the heartache. I'm tired of seeing the devil win the little victories in people's lives. And I'm tired of seeing homes be ripped apart. I'm looking forward to Christ coming back. We get to go home to be to heaven where we belong. But God has separated us from this world. Now, after a person gets saved, he has three natural enemies. The very moment that you ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, immediately you have three enemies. And those enemies will try to mess up the Christian for the rest of their life. And I have seen men of God that are greater than any one of us sitting in this room have been ministering a long time, man. They know this Bible inside and out, and they allowed one of these enemies to take them completely out of the ministry. I could give you example after example of great men and women of God that let one of these three enemies pull them right out of the ministry and ruin their testimony and ruin the testimony for Christians. And some of you might even know preachers or people that, man, once stood for something and you just thought they knew the Bible or looked up to them, but they allowed one of these three things to get them. So why are you saying that, Brother Andrew? Because none of us are above this happening to us. That's why we have to guard ourselves every single day. We have to guard our eyes, our ears, our mouth, everything that we do. We have to guard it every day. Paul said, "I die daily." It breaks my heart. I have some men in my life that I looked up to, man. you know, I didn't idolize them and I didn't think they were God, but they were men of God that I looked up to and I wanted to be like them. I wanted to preach like them. I wanted to know the Bible like they knew it. And come to find out that they got involved in some gross sin. I got involved in something that just completely ruined their reputation and testimony and ministry. And man, it broke my heart to hear that. But you know what it showed me? That nobody is above this happening to. Nobody's above falling into sin. And nobody's above. And so you'll never get to the place in your Christian life where you said, I've arrived. I've made it. I know the Bible, man. I know why we're Baptist. I know all the Bible doctrines and I know all these things and I've got these verses memorized and I go to church and I tithe and I give. It's okay if I just piddle with this little sin right here because I got it under control. No, sin is much more powerful than you are. And it'll take you over in a heartbeat. You don't even need to put yourself in any situations that might cause something because we cannot trust our flesh. We can't trust it for 1 minute. Amen? Growing up in my house, my mom and dad, whenever I courted, we didn't date, we courted. And that means we had to have a chaperone with us wherever we went. We didn't hold hands, we didn't kiss, none of those things until we got married. And we did all those things. And the reason was they were protecting us. And I've seen some people with their kids and they say, you know, well, I trust them. Well, that's fine, but you cannot trust their flesh. Because it doesn't matter how good of a boy or girl they are, no matter how, and I believe I was pretty good growing up, but when I was away from my mom and dad and nobody was looking, you can't trust your flesh. Your flesh will make decisions for you, amen. You might be a good boy or a good girl, those things that your kids might be, but as they grow up, you cannot trust them. And so, and the fact is, if you got a little girl and they keep themselves clean and pure, you can't trust that boy she goes with. Amen? You just can't do it. And you gotta keep yourself unspotted from this world. And so, God has sanctified the Christian by setting him apart from all three of these things. The world, the flesh, and the devil are our natural enemies, but God has given us the tools as a Christian to be victorious over those things. To set us apart and sanctify us from those things. You will be tempted by the world the rest of your Christian life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm telling you right now that as a man or a young man or a boy or any man, you can't even walk through Walmart anymore without having to guard your eyes. Now, we have been desensitized. Christians have been desensitized to where we can see a woman that's half naked, or just in her underwear, and we don't think twice about it anymore. Because it's everywhere we go. You go to Walmart, you go to Kmart, it's everywhere, right in front of you. But as a child of God, we're not supposed to look upon those things. And we're not supposed to concentrate on them. But you can't go through the checkout line at Walmart without seeing a naked woman up on the board or a naked man without his clothes on, sitting in a register when you're walking out. But the world has constantly put that stuff in front of us. They put that stuff in the commercials. You can watch a football game and you can't, you'll have to turn the channel because of the commercials. Yeah, I mean, awful, awful. They had, they use sex to sell. It used to be that you wouldn't see those things in a movie or a TV show, and if you did, it was rated R, and you couldn't watch it, but now they have it in commercials. And they got it, and you know what that is? That's the world's attack on Christianity. They don't care what you believe. They don't care about your Bible. They don't care about your God. And whatever that they can do to get at you, they're going to do it. And so your entire Christian life, you're going to be tempted by the world to do wrong. You're going to be tempted to look at things you shouldn't. I mean, you get on the internet. The internet is a great tool, but it's a wicked thing at the same time. I mean, it's a wicked thing. I'm on the computer all day long and I have to search parts on the internet and you can go to a parts website for car parts or diesel engine parts and you're sitting there trying to look up a part and guess what's sitting over here on the side? A woman not dressed right, There was one website I went to one time. It was on NAPA or Advanced Auto Parts or something. And on the very top, no, I think it was MSN's homepage. And on the very top of it, it said, Ashley Madison, life is short, have an affair. Just right there. I mean, boom. The world is just, I mean, they have billboards. Ashley Madison, I know that they got hacked and a bunch of people got busted and good. I'm glad they got busted and got in trouble, man. That's wicked, wicked. But that's the world's philosophy. The world's philosophy is if you get bored with your wife or you get sideways with her or mad at her, just throw the marriage out the window and go find somebody else. Life is short, just have an affair. Isn't that not what the world preaches? Everywhere you turn around, the movies you watch, the shows you watch today, it all says, if you don't like it, just do it another way. They have a Burger King religion. Have it your own way. However you want to make it work. And some of them, in the name of Christianity, will take the Bible and try to justify what they do. I realize that a divorce happens. It does. And we've got some folks in here that have been divorced. And if that's been the case, man, you just take your life and live for God the best you can and try to serve Him. But God does hate divorce. He does. He talks about it in the Bible. And there are biblical reasons for divorce and those things. And I understand that. But you know what this world is pushing in front of your face? They have billboards for lawyers. And all they are is the divorce lawyers. And if you have a hard time or you have a fight with your wife or whatever it might be, or, you know, we don't love each other anymore. That's not a ground for biblical divorce. You need to learn to love one another again. I'm going to get into it when we get into Titus, but you know the God's instructions to the older women in the book of Titus is to teach their wives how to love their husbands. That's one of the instructions. I'm going to get back into Titus here in a few weeks, and we're going to go over that. But you say, why does it say they have to teach their wives to love their husbands? Because when you first get married, amen, and she's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in the world, man. Everything is just wonderful, and everything's perfect, and you go through your honeymoon and go through that first couple years, and the next thing you know, money gets a little tight. She has a couple kids, and that, amen, that hourglass figure turns into a two-liter figure. And all those things start happening, and man, you just go through your life, and you got the kids, and some of them are sick, and the money's not there, and things get a little tight, and the next thing you know, they start fighting back and forth. You know what the world says? Just have an affair. Just get rid of her. Trade her in for somebody different. Or trade him in for somebody different. Lady's at a workplace and she sees a man that's taking care of what looks like he's taking care of his wife and sending her flowers and doing all these things for her. And she goes, man, I wish I had that. Amen? You know, Facebook is one of the leading causes of divorces among Christians. Facebook is one of the leading causes of divorces among Christians. You say, why? They get on there and find their old high school sweetheart. They see pictures and they see things. They start talking back and forth. End up leaving their family and their wife. You know what? That's what the world's doing. They're constantly... You say, why are you getting off on this? I don't know. Because I'm tired of seeing heartache all around me among Christians. Just trade... Hey, I'm telling you, this thing of being married and loving your spouse, sometimes it takes work. And it takes work on both sides of the fence. You both got to put effort into it and try. And man, just you got to put it into it. They say, "Well, I don't love him no more." Well, whenever you did your marriage vows, it was for better or for worse, life or death. Amen. For better or worse. But now they might as well take that out of most marriage vows. Now, most marriages don't last but like 2 years now, and that's sad. That's extremely sad. Man, it breaks my heart to see people that have been married 20, 30 years getting a divorce. And you talk to them, oh, we don't love each other no more. We grew apart. I think a lot of the reason is, man, they don't talk no more. Couples don't talk anymore. And I might not finish this, and we might have to pick it back up next week. But, with technology it is today, You can go into a family's house and sit there, try to have a conversation, and she's got her tablet on the computer, and he's got his phone on the sitting there playing with it. They don't eat dinner no more together. They never talk. They don't know what's going on in each other's lives. Amen? And it's not a good place to be. But this world is going to tempt you the rest of your life. No matter where you go, there's going to be things in this world, and they're going to throw it up in your face. I mean, even on commercials, I talked about commercials. Now... about one out of every five commercials during a football game has homosexuals in it. You know what the world's doing? They're throwing it up in your face. But it breaks my heart. I've got family. I've got a sister that made this comment to me. My sister is living with a man right now that is not her husband. And, well, they're not married. She got married. She left her husband for her husband's best friend, and now she's living with him. Alright, and we're praying for her. I love her to death. I'll do anything for her. She can come over. But we are not going to refer to him. My kids refer to him as uncle. Uncle Nick's here. He's married to my sister Emily, and my kids call him Uncle Nick. They're not going to call this other sucker. I call him a sucker, amen. They're not going to call him uncle. Well, they live together. I don't care. It's not right. They're living in fornication. They're not married. And so, but, you know, what society wants to do is, well, it's okay. Let's just accept it. You know what they're trying to do? Get us with homosexuals and with these things. Well, that's just, Brother Andrew, you're old-fashioned. You need to move up into the century that we're living in. It's okay for somebody to live with somebody before they get married. I've had them tell me before, don't you test drive a car before you buy it? God forbid we have that attitude when it comes to the sanctity of marriage. Amen? And I know that I know who I'm preaching this morning. There might be some folks that have gone through some things, and that's fine. God can take your life, and He can use it for His honor and glory, and He can fix it. But that doesn't always happen. And going forward, for our kids and for the future generation, we need to do it right. Do it the Bible way. And God saved us from this world. He separated us from this world. And we need to keep ourselves unspotted and separated from the world. You say, well, man, that's how we've always done it. And that's how everybody does that now these days. Well, no, we don't have to. As a child of God, as Bible believers, we don't have to do it that way. I'm telling you, the other way works. The other way works, absolutely. And it's a precious thing. Man, it's a precious, precious thing for a man and a woman to, when they come to the altar, have their first kiss. And man, that night be something absolutely wonderful and special. And it's a very special thing. Amen? And so it works doing it the Bible way. And I got verses on all this. We'll go over them eventually. But are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10? 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. There's a tragic story here. And I'm not going to finish this. We're going to have to pick it up next week. I got to preaching instead of teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Paul gets down towards the end of his life, and there's a few men that are with him. John Mark, man, he messed up his life. He messed up his testimony, and he got crossways with the man of God, but he ends up getting right and coming back. And you got Luke that's there. And then there's another man, Demas. And verse number 10 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world." You know what I'm afraid that most, I'm saying Christians, you know, they call themselves Christians. A Christian is someone that's Christ-like. But most so-called Christians today have come to the place where they love and accept this present world. Well, that's what everybody else is doing. Everybody, hey, you know, you talk to somebody and you say, man, I'm having problems at home and all these things. And they say, man, just leave her. Is that what God wants? Absolutely not. Man, I'm having problems with my kids and they won't listen. The Bible says the rod of correction. Amen. The Bible has a recipe for those things. But you know what the world says? Put them on medicine. They'll be walking around like zombies. Now, I got to clarify when I say stuff. So folks don't get mad. There's legitimate cases where some kids have to be on medicine. Okay? But there is probably 85-90% of those kids that just need a good spanking. Amen? I mean, growing up, I mean, there was six of us in the house, and we were kids, man. We had fun, we had a blast, but we knew how to listen and obey. And whenever we got a little out of hand, it wasn't take this. It was bend over and take this. Amen. My dad did not spare the rod. That's why I'm so tall, because when he spanked me, it just, stretched me out a little bit. Got lots of spankings growing up. But, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. But it breaks my heart to see kids today and they look like they're zombies walking around. But that's the world's answer. You can't control them, put them on medicine. Amen? And so, but today, that's just the acceptable thing. Even Christians, they try the world's methods for everything, to fix everything, before they try the God's way that works. You know what he says back there in Jeremy? He says, stay with the old paths. Where is the right way? I'm telling you that God's way will work 100% of the time. You try it out, you put it to a test, and if it doesn't, you come let me know, and you'll be the first case of God's way failing. God's way of a marriage, God's way of raising children, God's way of just the way we live our life as a Christian, as we treat our families, God's way works 100% of the time. It will work. God's way does. But the world has a way just like God has a way, and Christianity today has gotten so far off base from God's way, man, we're way off in left field. When it comes to everything, the world is going to mess with Christians. They're going to get in their head. They're going to, like I said, we've come completely desensitized. Man, I remember as a little boy, if I heard a curse word, man, it made me blush. Man, it just made me cringe. It made me like, man, my goodness, I can't believe they just said that. You're walking through Walmart, and man, in the ladies' undergarment section, they got posters of pictures everywhere. I remember as a little boy, my mom covered my eyes when we walked through there. I didn't need to see that as a young man. I don't need to see it now, another woman unclothed. But she would cover my eyes as we go through there. And now as you grow up, man, you look at the world, they got it on billboards, they got it on the television, they got it in Walmart, and you just go through this life as a Christian, and now you get to the point where you see something like that and you don't think twice about it. Don't even blush. You hear a curse word. Somebody cuss. And you don't even think twice about it. You just keep going. Why? Because we're used to it. That's the world. That's the world system. Now let me ask you this. If it was wrong 100 years ago, why isn't it wrong today? 100 years ago, or maybe even sooner than that, I mean, you would never hear a man cuss in front of a woman. It was a couple years ago, man. Me and Sarah went out to eat. I think we were in Tennessee somewhere, and we went and sat at a restaurant. And there was a guy, and now women have just as filthy of a mouth as a man will. But we were sitting at a restaurant. This guy is just cussing, and I've got my wife and daughter there. And I said, "Sir, would you mind stop using those words? My wife is sitting right here. I don't want to hear that." Amen. And he stopped. He said, "I'm sorry." But man, years ago, people had some respect, and they wouldn't do that. I work with a bunch of technicians and mechanics and stuff, and every now and again, they get off cussing, and man, you just gotta live in this world. But if they ever take the Lord's name in vain, I stop them right there and say, "I don't ever want to hear that again in front of me. Don't take my Lord's name in vain." And I get on to them for cussing. When they come in the room and they say something, they'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew. I'm sorry. I appreciate that." Amen. Don't let them cuss your God. But we've been desensitized. And now everywhere we go, man, we see it. And now we're getting to the point where even Christians are accepting a man and a man together. They see that, or they see a woman and woman together, and they see it, and at first they're like, "Man, we don't like that. We're going to stand against it." And now they're like, "Well, it's happening. We just got to live with it." I'm still going to tell my children that's wrong. That's a sin. That's against God. That's attacking the home. That's attacking the church. Sanctity of marriage. That's wrong. Ellen Elijah, that's wrong. But if as a child of God, if I teach my children, well, that's just what they're doing today. You know what? By the time they get teenagers, it's just going to be okay. But even more so than ever, we've got to teach them it's wrong. Amen. Teach our children. Hey, drinking is wrong. Smoking is wrong. It's something that we shouldn't do. I realize that's a hot subject also, but the fact is, it's wrong. It's something that we shouldn't be doing. And if we are, man, it's going to be hard to tell our children not to do it, but it's something that they shouldn't do. They don't even need to get started in it. But as a Christian, in the society we live in the world system, We have become to the point where we just accept everything. We just accept anybody however they are. Whenever they first, I'm going to keep rattling on. Whenever this gay marriage thing first came about, there was a black preacher that got on the courthouse doors down here in Birmingham. I don't know if y'all heard about this. He had a mop. And he said, a man says, I was born this way. God did not make anybody gay. I don't like using gay. Gay used to mean happy. All right. God did not make anybody a sodomite. He did not make him that way. You went against your, if someone's that way, they went against their own nature. It disgusts the fight. Man, I could not imagine going home with another man. Man, it makes my skin crawl. It makes me mad. It makes me want to throw up. I'd hate to go home and look at another ugly sucker like me every day. Amen. I thank God for my wife. And I don't, man, God did not make you that. He put something down inside of a man and a young boy. When he gets a certain age, he starts getting attracted to a lady, amen?
Amen.
To a woman, and society has changed that. And now, they're getting the young man or the young woman, even in school, to question who they are. And going back to school this year, all this stuff happened the course of this last year, and back in September and August when kids started going back to school, to be gay was a cool thing. Because everybody was talking about it, right? A girl at my work told me her daughter came home to her and told her that she thinks she's a lesbian. Why? Because the world is, it's everywhere, and now it's the cool thing to try. It's still wrong, right? And I didn't finish my, we'll continue next week. But this thing is sanctification. God separated us from this stuff. And after we get saved, we as Christians have to separate ourselves from the world. We have to separate us from the ideals of the world. And I'm telling you that if millions of people are flocking to it, even if it's so-called in the name of Christianity, I guarantee God's nowhere to be found around that thing. The world is flocking to it. These mega churches that have tens of thousands of members, they're not preaching this Bible. They're not preaching separation. They're not preaching living right, dressing right, doing right. Why? They wouldn't have a big church. But as a child of God, that's what we're supposed to do, be separated from the world.